One time I camped alone by a dry creek in a deep valley surrounded by mountains that are full of life. I got there late at sunset, and as I set up camp, I saw red deer. I saw wild pig prints around the campsite. I saw wild goats crossing the road, and I saw a big muscly hare. You know what that is? It's a rabbit, Queensland style, this big. I lit a campfire and I settled down for the night, and as the moon came out, I heard dingoes, howling dogs in the distance. And the next morning, I did what I go out there for. I put on the shoes and the backpack, and I went walking. And the trail got thinner and thinner. The trees got closer and closer. The air became darker and darker, and soon all I could see was the track in front and behind me, and both sides just heavy undergrowth, heavy Queensland vine forest on either side. And I was walking along enjoying it when I heard it. Steps. Something back off to the side was walking with me. And it was something big. They were soft footfalls. So, you know, skillful. They weren't like a bush turkey or a goanna. It definitely wasn't a goat or a pig. They bashed through the undergrowth. It was something that was efficient and sly, but big. And I could tell whatever it was skillful and athletic. And I was being followed. I remembered the sign on the way in. It said, Yowie Country, Jugabinna, the bush legend of the Jinnaburra people, beware you are entering Yowie Country. And I stopped. And as I stopped, the footsteps continued for a couple seconds and then stopped too. My ears were pricking up. I was sure it was a predator. Had you ever been followed? I started walking again. And shortly after I started walking, the steps started again. Gently, quietly, but big. And it was just ever so slowly gaining ground on me, following me just a little bit closer. So I stopped again. And a few seconds after I stopped, the steps stopped again. This is a true story. Whatever it was close. I could look to the back and I could just see bush, but I could actually hear soft, heavy breathing in the bush. And I was full of terror. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up. And so I faced its direction. I lowered my backpack and I got out my bush knife. And I have a knife. It's almost 2 foot long, and it's the kind of, that's not a knife, this is a knife. I got out my bush knife, and as I did so, I looked at the ground, and there on the ground, everywhere, footprints, dog prints, but as big as my hand, the biggest dog prints I have ever seen, I kid you not. I was in full terror. I took out that knife and I started bashing it against my stick and making as much noise and shouting as I could as I walked along. And that seemed to work. So I stopped bashing the stick. And a few minutes later, guess what I heard again? Steps in the bush. So I walked a bit faster and a bit faster, but careful not to run. If you run, you're a dead man. Pretending to be confident, walking as fast as I could and beating my stick and my knife together, but something big was following me. I have never felt so grateful to see my car. Do you know what I did when I got there? I got straight in and I started the engine up and I sat there watching the bush. And then I packed up my swag and I got the heck out of there. And I've never gone hiking on that trail again. And I doubt I will. You know, I have actually encountered lots of big animals in the bush. I'm not unused to that. But the scariest I ever encountered was the one I didn't see. And the one that followed. So, have you ever been followed by something scary? What's it like to be followed? You might like to quickly tell someone, I'm not going to do a discussion today. What's it like to be followed? Quickly whisper or tell somebody. So, human beings are often followed. It's actually a part of human nature that we find ourselves followed. Things follow us from our past. Things that should be gone a long time ago. And sometimes our past just follows us. And we think that we're over it and it's all gone. And then something happens and it pops out. Have you experienced that one? Or grief, when we lose someone we love. And that grief, it's sometimes grief is like a companion that follows us and we think we're over it. We think it's all gone. And then a sight or a smell or a sound, and suddenly we're right back there with the loss. As human beings, things follow us. The worst things that follow us are the things that we did sometimes. A memory of something that we did wrong, a mistake, you know, a fork in the road where we could have gone left but we went right and our whole life's different, or a regret, unfinished business. And it's almost, it seems to me, human nature that things follow us in the back of our mind. And I think sometimes we let them. I have a mate who's had 30 or 40 jobs. He's my age. And I don't catch up with him very often. I see him every couple years when he's around. And every time I catch up with him, he tells me about his abusive boss and the dysfunctional workplace and how he started in this new workplace and everything's broken and he's trying to fix it and they don't know what they're doing and they're all a bunch of idiots. And every time he tells me, he's fighting with the boss. And I have to say, 20 years ago, I thought my friend just had bad luck. I thought, after the first five or six jobs, I thought, you know, this guy is just unlucky with work. But then I noticed something. All these different jobs, living in all these different places, in all these different industries, everything else changes except for one thing. Him. And if everything else changes, the only common denominator is him. And I started to realize that my friend is followed by anger. His anger, it just follows him everywhere he goes. There's something in there, and it's in the back of his mind, just tracking him, and every now and then it comes out and it pounces, and then he loses another job. So what follows human beings? All sorts of things follow us. Another one of the worst things that follows us is the things that other people did to us. As a counsellor, as well as a pastor, we often talk about a victim mentality. A victim is somebody who is defined by what others do to them. And when we take a victim mentality, we let what the person did stick to us and follow us, and we hold on to it. But a survivor actually says, you know what, they did was wrong, but that doesn't define me. I'm not defined by that. And they find that maybe it starts to follow them a little less. So, let's talk about it in the Bible. You know what's even worse than being followed? Being actively pursued. You see, some things just follow us, and other things actively pursue us. And that's even worse. One time I was chased by a young bull. A bull. My son's laughing at me. And I must have been running from this bull for maybe 3 minutes, but it felt like 5 hours. And I dodged behind trees and I dodged around sheds and I did everything I could, and this thing just kept coming at me. The only thing that I had on it was that I could turn faster. And this bull was angry with the spit coming out of its mouth and, you know, the crazy thing. You know what saved me? A fence. A fence was the only thing that saved me. But this bull was actively pursuing me. Some things just follow you. Other things actively pursue. When you change course, they change course. And they track you. And in the Bible, there's a word for this. The word is raduf. This is the word for being followed, chased, pursued, and actively tracked. To be run after. And this word is mostly a bad word. In fact, it's almost always a bad word. There's only a few exceptions to that. But what Rudduff is it's active. It's an active pursuit. Something that Rudduffs you actively pursues. I'll give you five examples. Can you say the word? Exodus 14. Then the Egyptians pursued them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. You know, the Israelites, they were fleeing, and the Egyptians, Rudduff, they pursued actively. Deuteronomy 1, the Amorites came out against you and chased you like bees. Have you been chased by bees? That's a scary one. 1 Samuel 23, so Saul pursued David in the wilderness. Psalm 7, O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from those who pursue me. And Lamentations 4, those who pursued us were swifter than the eagles of the sky. This word pursue in the Bible is generally for bad things like bees or eagles pursuing or lions or armies or hunting dogs. And the thing that pursues us most often is our own sin. It stays with us whether we feel guilty about it or not. It pursues us, trying to catch us, and it punishes us. One of my favourite authors from the 20th century, Ernest Becker, you can look him up. Ernest Becker wrote a book in which he said, human beings are pursued. All of us, every one of us, are pursued like as if wild dogs chased us. And he said, the thing that pursues us, well, this is what we do in response. He said, modern people avoid what is too terrible to admit. We avoid what's pursuing us. He said, we drink and drug and shop ourselves numb to avoid what's pursuing us. And he says, we avoid the rumble of terror under all of our lives. Anyone know what Ernest Becker said pursues humans? Death. His book was called On Denial of Death, and I recommend it. And this is life without a shepherd. We've been doing the Good Shepherd for 5 weeks. Life without a shepherd is being pursued. It is being followed and chased by your past. It is being followed and chased by guilt or your own grudges against other people because they've hurt you. And without forgiveness, it is a life of being followed and chased by the past, by karma, by death, by guilt. But life with Jesus the Shepherd, life with Jesus the Shepherd is different, because remember Psalm 23 verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, life with a shepherd is different. Life with a shepherd doesn't mean no darkness, no struggles, but what it means is this: darkness cannot pursue you because the Lord has your back. At the start of Psalm 23, we have the Lord leading me out the front. Have you noticed that? At the end of Psalm 23, we have the Lord behind us as well. Have you noticed this? You see, in Psalm 23, this terrible word, Rudduff, to pursue, to actively track, to chase, to stalk even, this terrible word is used in one of the few times in the entire Bible that it's used in a good way. And what does it say? Do you remember where this word Rudduff, to follow, to pursue, to actively chase? Where is it? Surely, goodness and mercy. You got it? It says, say it with me. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is the only place in the Bible where the word Rudduff, to actively pursue, is used for goodness or mercy. And so what we have in Psalm 23 is the shepherd goes ahead of us, but the shepherd also guards behind us. He follows us like a rear guard with something good. And here, the kind of following that goodness and mercy do are active pursuit. That's what they do. They dog your steps. They follow your every move. They're on your heels, goodness and mercy, chasing you. If you slow down for a moment, they'll catch you because they're always behind you. And what that means for me is following Jesus means giving my life to him, trusting him with my whole life. And Jesus died. Jesus died for my sins, for my past, for my mistakes. All the bad things, even the things that other people did to me, he dealt with. And now he's my Saviour, my Shepherd, my Lord, and he's got my back. When I look back to my past, I don't need to see my own failures anymore. I can look back to my past and I can see the cross of Jesus, the love of God, covering all of that. I talk quite often to people who believe in karma. Do you? I don't really believe in karma. But they talk as if, you know, I've done something bad in my life and now I'm stuck with it and it's going to chase me and now I'm getting the results of that. But when we follow Jesus, there is not bad karma, the way people talk about it. Because, you know, Satan may come to you. Sometimes you hear a negative voice in your heart and it says, you are a terrible person. You know that one, some of you are so wonderful, perfect. I've heard some of your life stories. But that one little thing, that one thing you did wrong, Satan will come back and say, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of God's love, this heaven business. You're a terrible Christian. You should go to hell. And he'll bring back the sins and make sure they follow you. But when he does, instead what you say is, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Walter Brueggemann, I love this guy, he writes about this verse. He says, the goodness and faithfulness of God will actively chase, seek and hunt you your whole life long. All of your days, you are the object of God's vigorous pursuit. See, grace isn't a passive thing. The grace and love of God is an active thing that chases us. And if we, the minute we stop and slow down, it gets us, it's with us. In North Queensland, I used to go fishing in my little boat. And at night, I would go out on my own. Love fishing at night with the crocodiles and sharks. It's awesome. One night, I was motoring along, and I looked back behind the boat and saw something like this. Everywhere I went, there was a beautiful, glowing, luminescent blue trail following me. It literally glowed behind me. In front of me, darkness, the moon, but behind me, I look back and it would be bright. And it's a common thing in our state. It's a form of plankton, and the plankton is luminescent. It's a bioluminescence. It glows when agitated. And I've often thought of that because that is what it is like with Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we can look back and instead of seeing our sin and our mistakes, instead of seeing the things that people did to us, we look back and we can see goodness and mercy. We can see this glow. And you can ask the Holy Spirit about this if you need to work something through. But one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is to reframe our past. So we look back at our past with human eyes and we say, no, I've made a few mistakes. I've had some bad losses. I've had some bad times. With human eyes, we say that. But the Holy Spirit of Jesus comes in and says, you're forgiven, and I got you. And we can now look back and see, in those hard times, in the valley of the shadow of death, we can begin to see just hints of God's presence and God's love. I've heard some of you do this. You tell me about your past, and I'm sitting there thinking, crikey. They've been through a lot. And then you say to me, God has been so good. God has been with me all the way. And I realize you're looking back and you're seeing the glow of goodness and mercy. And you only see that when you look through Jesus. So this is what the gospel of Jesus is. It's forgiveness and grace, not just for your future, not for God leading you, but also God's got your back. God goes behind you, and you do not have to fear because nothing can catch you when goodness and mercy go behind you. I speak this to you in the name of Jesus. I tell you that if you trust him, no matter how you feel about it today, he's got your back. goodness and mercy will follow you. Let's finish. Just a question for us as a church now. What will follow us here? As we get older, we start to wonder, what will I leave behind? What will be my legacy? What will follow me? What will I leave? And this is a good question for churches too, because we are eternal, the body of Christ, but these visible institutions, our buildings and stuff, we're not here forever. And, you know, St. Luke's may be here for 1,000 years. Or St. Luke's may be here for only a couple more. And so the question I sometimes ask myself is, what will follow in our wake? What will we leave behind us? And I know this. If we follow Jesus, our shepherd, we trust him, we will not leave a trail of unforgiveness. We will not leave a trail of selfishness and destruction. We will not leave a trail of rejection in this town and place. But simply trusting Jesus, a glow of goodness and mercy will follow us. But I believe that in the community of Nambour, St. Luke's is and will leave a glow of goodness and mercy following us. Let's finish with Psalm 23, verse 6, and I've turned it into a we instead of a me. Would you read it? And you're speaking it for everyone, to each other and to me. Ready? Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will live in the house of the Lord forever. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.